Or else God was speaking to Michael along the same lines. It's always good to know, you know, that you're, and you'll always find that, the flow of the Spirit. Many times, you know, I'll find, especially I go to meetings and stuff of, like especially I know going down to, when I attend Randy Greer's meetings, or even if I can't attend, I always download his MP3s offline, and I always get them and listen to them. And I always find that, that you know, there's things that God's dealing with me on, I find he'll start speaking, you know, he'll have things in there. And that's good, you're moving along the same line. And you know, that should be the norm in Christianity and not the abnormal. That should be the normal. And we have the same Spirit. We're hooked up with the same Spirit. I know with Brother Hagin, when I used to attend his meetings, it was the same thing. You just get wonderful confirmations of things, because sometimes you wonder if you're heading the right direction, or am I hearing, is this just me going over here? And then when you have somebody who sees and knows a few things, and they would say, well, that's good to know. They get that confirmation. And we're going to be dealing with a subject that lots of times people have negative, you know, connotations about certain things, that they look at them like at these are things you know, we would rather hear the thing that makes you shout or scream and say it's wonderful. But really, the areas in life where you will develop and grow are in the areas where you deal with pressure. If you learn to handle the word where the pressure is, that's the place that you really grow. You know, if you look at just from a natural educational standpoint, you know, the more you go up in education, the more pressure there is on learning and doing things. But it leads to greater gains in life. See, we live in a society, and you know, I really totally believe that the church has introduced a lot of the laziness today, that the church has brought a lot of this in, because the church is generally has a lazy opinion of God, that, you know, you just go around, God will just take care of you, he'll just do things for you, and you don't have to do what's right, you don't have to, you know, I can just go do wrong for 20 years, but if I repent tomorrow, he'll fix everything for me. If you haven't noticed that doesn't work... you definitely need another dip. I mean, there's something wrong. It doesn't work in that manner. And everything we do is we labor into, and especially if we want to learn to have victory in areas, there's things of pressure, because the more victory you want, the further you want to go. There's one thing is I've been spending a lot of time concerning the Lord, because I want a greater anointing on my life. I want a greater anointing. And I know there's more anointing to have, but I know this is to attain greater anointing, I'm going to have to make changes. But I don't always know what those changes are. You know, and that's why you get with God and all of a sudden he starts showing you things that you need to step into so you can walk in a higher place. And it's the same way with your own faith. You need to know this. Your conduct and how you walk in life determines how far you'll go in faith. It's not how many faith scriptures you know and you can quote. It's your walk. Your walk is going to determine how far you can go. You know, if I go out here and I start walking down the road, the strength in my body is going to determine how far I can get down the road. My confession may never get me there. I may want to walk 50 miles, but I ain't done nothing for 20 years and not exercised in 20 years. I ain't ever gone the 20 miles. And see, people, we need to know there's things required to do to accomplish certain things. And it's not a bad thing. Now, it's one thing as you need to know is dealing with the crucifying of the flesh. We're going to be dealing with that subject. I don't care how old you get in the Lord. I don't care how many years you're saved. You're going to have to deal with this. It's a constant. Nobody gets a break because, well, one day I'll arrive at the place and I won't have trouble with my flesh. Yes, it will do. That day when they put your flesh in a box and it's dead, you won't have any more trouble with it. But until that day happens, you're going to have trouble with your flesh. And so what I'm preaching this morning, I need as much as anybody else, because we have to deal with things. I was, you know, the Lord had me over in a subject and I was studying on it, and I just see things that, man, you know, and I just need to deal with my flesh, you know. And this is the whole thing. If your toes don't get stepped on, it's because you're backslid. And you've got to the point you can't hear anymore. Your toes will get stepped on. Things will show you. You'll see, oh man, I've been letting my flesh go. I've been letting it go here. That's just the way it is. You can sit and whine about it and say, boy, I'm just glad to know I'm getting this straightened out. You can get happy, or you can sit around and whine about yourself and poor old me. So we determine what we want to do. A lot of people, you know, they hear stuff that steps on their toes and they become whiners. Then there's people who get their toes stepped on and say, I ain't getting them stepped on no more. I'm getting right. I'm getting this straightened out. And I don't know. I'm just always one of those. I don't mind if somebody steps on my toe. If I need it, then we need it. Let's get straight. I'm glad to hear. You know, it's one thing is I really appreciate about Brother Randy Greer is the fact that he'll just up and say things. I like that. I can't, personally myself, I can't stand these ministers that are always beating around the bush trying to say things that don't make people uncomfortable. I can't stand them. It's like, why don't you just say it and go on to something else that might be useful instead of, you know, we don't want anybody to feel bad. Dear Lord, if you live in this world, you're going to run into times you feel bad. You're going to hear things that make you feel, people are going to say and do things, whether they're right or wrong, that are going to disturb you. Get over it. It's life. It's life. That's the way life is. You know, and you can let those things hold you back. Don't let those things hold you back. If you're held back, it's because of what we're dealing with, the flesh. Your flesh dominates you. And it holds you back. You don't want to allow the flesh to do that. You don't want it to hold. See, you have a desire in your heart to go to something more. And your flesh, most of the time, is the biggest roadblock, and it's not the devil. It's your flesh. Your flesh will keep you from going places, and it will open the door for the devil to do things. Your flesh, when you bring your flesh under control, I'm just going to tell you this, the more you can bring your flesh under the control, the less trouble you're going to have with the devil. Because he will have less opportunity. The scripture says, don't give him any opportunities. Well, we've all given him a few opportunities, haven't we? We've done things that gave him opportunity in life. Well, is learn to close the door. Learn to close the door on things. And your flesh is a big door. Your flesh has, you know, desires. It has pleasures that it lacks. And it has, the Bible calls lusts. It deals with, you know, those three areas. It talks about those things. And we're going to look into those things as we go along here and dealing with some things. One of the things we want to look on in entry and going in is the Lord told me there's a number of scriptures here I'm going to read to you this morning. We're just going to basically won't say a lot about them, but we're going to read down through them. I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter. At 2 Corinthians 6th chapter, I'm going to read something to you here. One of the things that I have been emphasizing is lots of times we need to be careful because we know that the Bible was written in chapter and verse. And lots of times we break it up into chapters and verses teaching, and sometimes that's good. But we need to be able to understand that these were letters written and they weren't written in chapter and verse. So things reading from one to the next, and we lots of times don't do that. We sort of get a stop when we come at an end of a chapter and now like, this is a new letter we're starting here. This is different, and it's not. Now I want to read to you in 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter. The Apostle Paul is writing to a church, and understand this about the church at Corinth. This church at Corinth, Paul wrote to them and told them they were a fleshly church. They're a carnal church. So we can learn a lot concerning from this church. Because he said, I can't speak to you as spiritual. I got to speak to you as carnal. The word carnal is actually the word, you know, when you chili con carne, it means chili with meat. That's what it is. And so it has meat. In other words, he's telling them this word, they're carnal. In other words, they're acting in the flesh. They're fleshly. You know, these people are living like meat. Don't live like meat. Don't let the meat dominate you. Hallelujah. So we don't want to do it. But here we are in verse 14. I want to listen to something here Paul wrote. It says, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness, and what communion has light with darkness? Now, I just want to say this to you in reading this. We use this lots of times, and it's used about, you know, people you hook up to with, people you know, we tell people about who you marry. You don't marry somebody. Don't get into an unequal yoke. You know, Christians should not be marrying unbelievers. You know, it's one thing if you're both unbelievers and you get saved and you have an unbelieving partner. Well, that's the way it is. I mean, but to go out and get married. But I want you to understand this. What he's talking about here is fellowship, is your fellowship. I can't go back over the teaching, but if you go back to 1 John, the first chapter, it talks about fellowship. And fellowship there, John said this. He said about having other believers having fellowship. And he said, truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. In other words, if you want to have fellowship with John, you have to have fellowship with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. He goes on to talk about sin. If you're a sin, you're walking in darkness, you don't have fellowship. And so we need to, he's talking about fellowship, because an unequal yoke, there's a fellowship that you cannot have with unbelievers. And that's the fellowship of what they live and walk in the flesh and do. You can't be doing it too. If you have people you hang around with and they get you over into doing things that are not right according to the Word, you need to break off that relationship. It's no different than an alcoholic, don't go hang out in the bar. If you can't, if you're around certain people and you don't have the gumption within yourself to withdraw yourself away from what they're doing and getting into doing things, gossiping and talking about stuff, and every time you get around them, you get into the same old trash they get into. If you can't do that, you need to break away from it. And if you don't have the guts to stand them and tell them, I can't do that, I'm a child of God, then you got to get away from them, or you're going to be in it and you're going to break your fellowship with God. If you walk in darkness, you break your fellowship with God. We need to understand this. This is why we're going to teach about bringing the flesh under. Because, you know, the flesh wants everybody to like them. Oh, yeah. You know, it's just, I've learned in this world, you know, you can't, most people live and walk in these days, they're walking on eggshells all the time. We're worried about, you know, the politicians are all worried, well, if I say the wrong thing, you know, it's going to, you got to constantly watch yourself and watch yourself and watch this kind of things and doing it. I can't live like that. I can't live like that. I wouldn't make it 2 seconds in Washington. There wouldn't be a Christian in Washington who would like me. I'll tell you, I'd blow both parties up. I'm going to tell you what. No one of them would want me in. They'd say, go start your own. Get out of here. Praise God. It's number one, because they walk around in eggshells. I can't live that way. I'm not going to live. You can't walk in the light and live like that. We have to be able to express our faith and live out our faith. You have to. Or you're going to be oppressed as a Christian. See, when we hang around and we break fellowship with God to have fellowship with people, we're doing ourselves a terrible disservice. Because there's going to, time's going to show up and you're going to need God. And when you call, you're not in fellowship with Him. And it ain't going to be working. And we need to understand, my faith is based on my fellowship with Him. Just not because I can quote some scriptures. It's my fellowship with Him. It's through fellowship you know Him. I'm going to tell you, the closer you walk in fellowship with God, the more you know Him. Now, over my years, I've got to know Him a lot better. I know Him a lot better today than I did back years ago. And one thing is, I like to look and find people that know more about Him than I do, and you get close to them and start to walk like they do and follow their teaching, you get to know God like they do. And this is what you want to do. Most people are looking for somebody who teaches on the level they're at. Because my toes don't get stepped on. I don't get drugged to a higher place. I'm not required to go any higher. So I'm looking for a church and I'm looking for a place I can go that will keep me on a low level, for I feel good. My prayers never get answered and things don't work out right. But I feel good. I feel good about myself. I can live in sin and feel good about myself. I don't want to ever go there. I'll tell you, I don't ever do things that keeps my conscience from being tender. You can sit and listen to preachers till you get to the place you don't have a conscience anymore. You don't want to go there. You don't want to ever go there. You want to keep a tender conscience for God, because if you don't, you'll live in sin. You want to keep yourself over where you're tender toward your conscience. The Holy Ghost inside of you. God's living in you. If you can't hear your own spirit and you can't hear the Holy Spirit, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. You don't want to ever go there. You want to keep yourself in a tender place because you want to hear from heaven. Now listen. He went on to say, verse 15, what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? See, we're dealing with the areas of fellowship. Now he's talking about fellowship here. See, there's a fellowship you cannot have with believers. We can't walk in or have it. Listen, and what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you're the temple of the living God. I'm going to tell you what. Quote that about 5 million times. And just say that. Say that. Say that. Look in the mirror. Look at that person in the mirror. I'm the temple of God, and the Spirit of God lives in me. It'll change your life when it becomes a revelation instead of just, well, Jesus lives in me, and then go live like hell. Get it to what's in you to really know what you are. We're so different. There's a fellowship. We can have a fellowship with God. The world can't. It's one of the bad things about it today. The majority of the Christian church doesn't have fellowship with God. The majority of the Christian church today is the Laodicean church. Jesus is standing outside knocking on the door. He ain't even in their service. They go in and sing songs of worship, but he's not there. They use words and they pray and do all kinds of stuff, but he's not there. He's not fellowshipping with them. Stands at the door knocking. The average church of America, and this is not, I'm not speaking from criticism, it's the truth. Jesus is trying to get in them. He wants to fellowship with people. I'm going to tell you what, I will not disgrace my Lord in such a way. I will not do that. Just so we can have just a gathering together and make each other feel good. I want a church where God's comfortable in. I don't care if people don't like it or not, that's their problem. I want a place where God shows up, where he's comfortable. And if I have to change my comfort to please him, hallelujah. Man, that's the place I want to live. You're the temple of God. Listen, he says, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God and they shall be my people. Woo! Hallelujah. Therefore, come out from among them. And be separate. Now, he didn't say segregate, but he said be separate. You have to have a separate life. You can't have the life of them. You can't fellowship with them on the level that they fellowship. Lots of times their fellowship is a bunch of junk. You can't do that. You can't do that. It's one thing as I learned a long time ago. I'm not one of the boys. I'm not one of the boys. I have a place I have to walk, especially as a minister. I have a place I have to walk. And I ain't hanging around to be people's buddies. There's a fellowship that I have to walk in with God. If you want anointing of God to minister, if you want anointing of God on you, you have to walk in a place that everybody else can't walk. And in other words, there's got to be a separation. There's got to be a separation of things. See, we don't like that. We think Christianity is everybody hanging out on the same level. No, it's not. It's not. You don't want to do that. If you don't rise up, you can't take nobody with you. The people that have taken me up were people who walked in a level above me. They didn't turn around. They didn't turn themselves off to me. But if I wanted to fellowship with them, I had to come up to their level. Jesus didn't die on the cross so you could live like hell and do what you wanted. He died to raise you up to a higher level. He became a man so you could live above humanity. See, we need to... religion robs us of all of that. It doesn't make him God. He came as a man, but I'm going to tell you what, he's all God right now. And that's the one I'm serving and walking with today. The all God guy. See, most people only know Jesus from the book in those days before, and they're following the guy that was still operating by the flesh. He's all God now. It's bow down and worship him. It's all glory and honor be unto him, not unto us. It's unto him. Hallelujah. This is good preaching, folks. This is for me. I need it. Hallelujah. We say things because we need to keep reminding ourselves of things. Hallelujah says, now listen to whatever he says. He said, therefore he says, come out from him and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean and I'll receive you. You know, you need to know this. You may have received Christ, but does he receive you? Woo, that was good preaching, wasn't it? See, we read through these scriptures, but we just, fly on through them and that stuff, and just say, but does he receive me? I'll tell you, I found out times that he wasn't receiving me at all about things. I had to get in life. I wanted to be received. See, many times we're going to God. God is, you're the big giver. You're going to take care of me. You're going to do all this stuff. It isn't, you know, it's one thing as I learned about God is we want to have everything that he has, but how much of him, how much of me can he have? I found out this. My faith works on a much higher level when he can have all of me and me not just wanting all of him. You come to that place where this is, you know, the Bible talks, the scripture says about us workers together with him. This is not a one-sided deal. Jesus ain't Santa Claus. But the majority of Christians, that's exactly what he is. We live our own life, follow our own flesh, and then we get in trouble or we need something, then you go with your Christmas list. This is what I need. And there's no worker together with him. Lots of Christians don't even want him in between. They're not even going to pay much attention to him in between there. You know, it's like Jerry Seville decides, he goes, to him to spend time with God, he would go and stand on the edge of the bathtub. Why? Because it was important to do. Now, we could go down in verse 18. It says, I will be a father to you and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord. What? If he receives me, this is how he treats me. You want to be treated as a son and daughter, you got to receive him. And then him receive, get yourself in line. He receives you. Why? So he can treat you in a manner. It's just like in a natural family. You go in a natural family, you know, the, at least it should be. I mean, the child that does good ought to be treated better than the child that don't do good. It's not like that today in America. Today, the more trouble you cause, the more attention you get. It shouldn't be that way. And you need to understand this. God is not an American. Thank God. Whew. I am so glad he's not an American. Glory to God. He don't act like us. He has no American culture in him at all. He's righteous and holy. Now listen, now I want to see, now look at chapter 7. Let's look at the first verse. Now he's going to explain himself after saying this. He's the word therefore. Therefore what? Because of what I just said. That's what the word therefore is there for. Because of what I just said, he says this. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord. Boy, there's a lot of dirty words for Christians in there. I'm going to tell you what. That thing here, perfection, filthiness of the flesh, cleansing ourselves, fear of God. Who wants that? My God. But see, he said all that, but he makes this statement. And I want you to know the importance because he says, you need to understand what he said. He said, cleanse yourself. He didn't say, I'm going to cleanse you this. And this is what we want to do. If you're going to deal with your flesh, you're going to find out about this. You're going to have to deal with you. You must deal with you. He said, you cleanse yourself, he said, from all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit. Here's a real problem. If you don't deal with filthiness of the flesh, and see, some people don't think certain things, you know, I don't lie too much. I don't. Filthiness of the flesh, if you keep walking in it, it'll get into your spirit. See, he said there's Christians here. They need to getting rid of the filthiness of the flesh, but also in their own spirit. See, you want to deal, make sure the inner man's right. Your inner man is the place that you walk in faith out of. Faith's of the heart. It's from the inner man. And we found out Jesus talking about the heart and planting seed in it. He said if there's weeds and rocks in there, it ain't going to produce nothing. You might believe what the Bible says, but if you got weeds and rocks in your spirit, it's not going to produce much of anything. I don't care what you believe the word says. I don't care how many times you confess it. The weeds and rocks will choke it out. This is why we must deal with these things. That's why you can't grow up spiritually without dealing with your flesh. It's an impossibility. There is nobody dominated in their flesh who grows up spiritually. It never happens. It has never, ever happened. I've never met a guy who's a drunk and he was real spiritual. I never met a guy, drug addict, was really spiritual. I never saw people who just go over in their flesh and let their flesh do all kinds and they become spiritual people. Never happens. Never takes place. That's why we need to deal with these things and look at them. Hallelujah. What we're supposed to be perfecting, what? Holiness in the fear of the Lord. That's what we're supposed to be doing. This is what we're talking about. We're talking about coming into a perfection. Now, we're talking about perfection. In other words, we're maturing. We're not talking about doing everything perfect. Because you ain't, like I said, you ain't getting there. You ain't going to get that place. We're always working at this thing. We're doing it. But in other words, that Paul sets a goal here. We're supposed to be get ourselves perfected in holiness and the fear of the Lord. And there should be a reverence that's held toward God, that there's lines that you won't cross. This is one thing. I know this. People who don't bring their flesh in line and don't deal with their flesh, they don't have any respect or reverence for God. I know that. They can say all they want. They can sing all the songs they want and say all the things they want. What we do proves what we are. Not what we say. My God, you know, politicians tell us everything we want to hear and they never do it. Saying don't count to nothing. It's one thing I love about Jesus. Everything he said he'll do. Everything he said he'll do, I can trust him completely. Hallelujah. That's the wonderful thing about faith in God, is the confidence that he don't change. Hallelujah. He'll always keep his word. Now I'm going to read to you from Ephesians, the fourth chapter. We're going to read this to you here. Ephesians, the fourth chapter, verses 22 through 24. I just want to read these to you. Ephesians 4, 22 and 24. It says, verse 22, it says, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Do you see what he's talking? He says, you told us here what to put off, and then he told us what to put on. In other words, and we need to know the subject is you. You put off and you put on. God does not. God doesn't. You do. You put it on. You take it off. You do. You know, it's, you know, Randall Greer says this all the time about people, you know, this grace taught today where people says God's done everything. Yes, God's done everything concerning his part, but I have my part. And he ain't going to ever do your part. God is never going to bring your flesh under control. God's never going to do that. You can pray and get people to lay their hands on you until they rub all the hair off your head or whatever else. You can get them to anoint you with 55 gallons drums of oil. You can try to cast 479 demons out of them. But if they don't bring their flesh under control, they're going to have nothing but trouble. That's the way it is. We bring it under control. We have to deal with me. I got to get myself and sit down and say, Ed, you got to strap up. You got to do, okay, this is what the Bible said I'm supposed to do. Now, this is what I've got to be practicing. And your flesh goes, no, let's go choke them instead. You know, they did something. They said about me. You know, did you hear? They were talking about me. They said things that weren't true. And I need to defend myself. You've been there and I know. Hallelujah. Maybe you guys are more holy than I am. I don't know. Maybe you don't ever go through these things. But then you can listen to my problems, okay? I'll just tell you mine. I'll just tell you my weaknesses, okay? The things I'm battling through. And really, I want you to understand this. This is the battle of Christianity. This is the battle of faith. The battle of faith is not the devil. The battle of faith is keeping yourself under, keeping a renewed mind and walking so the devil don't get access to you. That's the battle. The battle ain't out here, oh, I'm after devils. No, it's our job is to do, when we've done all it says concerning demon, we're supposed to stand. It don't say we're supposed to run around, chase him around, fight him or anything. It says you've done everything, you stand. You got to come to the place that you can stand where the devil can't get at you, where he's out there throwing. It says my faith then can stop every fiery dart of the devil, everything he throws at me. If I get my flesh under and walk by faith, I can stop everything he throws at me. If you don't take your flesh and put it under, I will guarantee you, you'll get hit with most of what he throws at you. That's just the way it is. Folks, I'm speaking by experience, and I'm not saying it to pinpointing anybody else, because we'd have to pinpoint us all. It's us. We've been hit by things already we shouldn't have been hit with. I don't know about you. I've had a number of them. I found out after the fact. Said, you know what? God's been trying to deal with me about that. And I let that one alone. Oh, well, I better go back over and deal with that now. Said, I'm tired of getting run over in that area, so we better go over there and deal with it. You guys never been there on that? Don't go to line. We'll have to cast that spirit out of you. Just you'll just have to bring your flesh under line, because actually that's not a demon. The Bible says that's a lying is a work of the flesh. So we call it, they got a lying spirit. Well, I'm going to tell you what, they started lying before that spirit ever came along. Good preaching, Ed. Okay, we're going to go over to Colossians now. In Colossians, the third chapter, I want to read to you there. Because we're just doing a confirmation. Well, I want you to see, this is what the Lord wants you to see and instructed me to do, to show you, because in this teaching, these are things that you have to do. Now, we can get help from God. It isn't God lets you out there alone, don't get any help. But the whole thing of it is, you're going to have to set yourself in a direction to start dealing with things. Look, the Holy Ghost is our helper. He is not the doer. He's never the doer. We're the doer. He helps us do it. You need to come to that conclusion. If I want to get anywhere, I got to become the doer. He will sit and watch you till you do something. The Holy Ghost is not going to do things for you. We're always trying to get the Holy Ghost to do things for us. He doesn't do it for us. When we start walking by faith, when we start acting out and doing things, then He is there to aid us and to help us complete and carry out those things. That's what He's there for. He does. He is a helper. And so you need to understand that. You know, it's like, you know, sitting in a car, you can start the engine. If you don't drive it off, it just sits there. It doesn't. You're going to have to do something with it. If you want the power of that car to be able to do something for you, you're going to have to drive it. And so you need to understand for yourself, the Holy Ghost, even though the power that He has, He doesn't operate that power till you make action and do things. And so, dealing with our flesh, He'll help us. Colossians, the third chapter, verse 5 says, therefore, put to death your members. Now that word members there, you'll see that used in the New Testament, the word members, but really, it's talking about your body and flesh. It's not talking about the members of the church getting somebody else to do something. It's the members of your body. The member of your body means all your flesh, all that's meant. In other words, you need to do something. You need to put it to death. Oh, isn't that fun? Doesn't that sound exciting? Now, He's not talking about really killing it, but He's talking about, I'm going to tell you what, some of the hardest things you'll ever do is dealing with your flesh about things. The hardest things you'll ever do. And especially when you've let your flesh get away with things for years on end, I'm going to tell you what, you're going to have a struggle. This is one thing, and you need to know, I've watched this over the years. You know, there's some things I just watch by observation. You can figure a few things out. And over my years of Christianity, I've watched this. People who come into the kingdom and get delivered of something, and then they turn around and end up yielding in their flesh and going back to it, it's always harder to stop after they've went back. It's never. They struggle to get delivered again. Once you let the flesh get back over, see, you get yourself out, you get delivered, and then you turn around and go back to it. You go back to your vomit. Never works that well. You don't ever go back. See, I've seen people do that. They get over drugs differently. They got delivered from it. They went back. They struggle. I've seen people, it don't seem to ever get straightened out. They can't get back. Because see, what if you go back and doing things, enough devil gets in. I'll tell you what, if you don't learn to be strong in the Word and stand in the Word of God and get your mind under control, the devil will just eat your lunch. He'll get you over there living in shame. And when he gets you living in shame and you're over that, and you just think, well, you know, I just can't this and I'm that. This is just, I'm so tired of hearing Christians say that. And if you hear say this at any time, you might hear me yell at you in front of everybody. If I hear you say, well, this is just the way I am. That's a good flesh saying to try to justify your sin. You can't do that. I can't justify my stupidity. I got to measure up to it. You know, people won't say, I want to change, and then go make statements like that. This is just the way. Well, that's the way you're in. What do you want to change? This is the way you are. They know that they ain't supposed to be that way. But they go lying to try to make themselves feel good because nobody else will say it to them. You're just that way. Yeah, you're that way because you chose. I've been there, folks. That way because I made choices. And everybody goes through that. That's a good preaching. All right, verse 5. Therefore, putting to death those members which are on the earth, Well, see, your body's still right here on this earth, isn't it? I'll tell you this. What are fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desires, covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. He said, in which yourselves once walked in when you lived in them, but now you yourselves are to put off all these anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. See, it tells you again what to put off and what to put on. Again, it's what we put off and what we put on. It's dealing with us. It's dealing with us. And it's so important that we get in line with this. One of the things that we have to look at is the fact that people come and say, well, you know, how do I accomplish this task? How do we, you know, we could go some things and I could give you some things, but you're going to find out it's most things that you've been already told to do that you didn't. And that you don't do. You know, one of the things is just like this concern. You know, did you ever notice things like, you know, how we can do things for hours on end that the flesh likes? And then you say, you know what I tell you? I'm going to stop. I'm going to take 1 hour and I'm just going to pray in other tongues for an hour. Like Jerry Seville. I bet Jerry Seville could have got out of the bed and done all kinds of things for hours on end. But it comes to praying, and all of a sudden it's nap time. Why? Was it? He's dealing with his flesh. Now you need to understand what he did. He went and dealt with his flesh. He said, flesh, I ain't going to give you a break on this thing. If you fall asleep, you're going to hurt. Most people will never do that. They will not do anything that will discomfort them. That's why they never change. That's why Christians never change, because they never do anything themselves. Their discomfort in life is getting mad on the other people who make them feel discomforted because of the situation and the stuff they're doing. And then they're mad at them. Instead of discomforting themselves, I found out this. I had to discomfort myself. I have to. There's things that I do that, I'll tell you what, I know my flesh don't like, so I do it. Because I got to keep my flesh where the noise is down. This is why most people can never hear anything in prayer. Because their flesh is so loud when they go to praying, because they do it so little, their flesh is yelling the whole time they're praying. They're either sleeping or their flesh is yelling. One of the two, and they don't hear anything. Isn't it amazing? I mean, we can watch, you know, a movie that's 3 hours long and sit and watch the whole thing. Go in the theater, sit down, watch the 3-hour movie. Wasn't that thing wonderful? Wasn't that a great movie? Pray for half an hour. Do this, half an hour. Now, I've said to you folks many times about this. Kenneth Hagin had said this years ago, and I heard him say it numbers of times. He said this. He said, if you'd pray for, he said, 1 hour a day, you would take and pray in other tongues. He said, there's a lot of things you'll never face in life. Now, I heard him say that years ago, and I've said it in this church, I don't know how many times. Now, I'm not going to ask anybody to raise their hand, because I know most of you have been sitting and heard me say that. But I'll guarantee you, don't do it. Why? Dealing with your flesh. Boy, but when we get in trouble, we'll pray for an hour. And you're going to have to pray for an hour or two, getting yourself straightened out. Maybe a week, maybe 2 weeks or a month that you wouldn't have had to do if you'd have started the training program you were told years ago to be doing. Hey, folks, this is good preaching. This is good preaching. Come on. I've been here. Hey, it's just me. I'm this backslidden buzzard. What's he doing saying this stuff to us? I'm just telling you, you got to train. Mike talked about this one. I'm going to deal with that. About training this inner man. Now, there's one thing. The scriptures tell us that we need to do this and deal with this guy, this flesh of ours, this house we live in. You know, we're the one that keeps the paint on the house, or, you know, put siding on it or whatever. We do that, taking care of the outer man. The inside man wants to do things. The inside man desires to walk with God. He wants to. What hampers him is the outside. The outside man gets too dominant. And so it hinders us to be able to do what we'd like to do. Now, We can look at it and say, well, you know, people say, well, you know, I just can't stop doing this, or I just can't stop. Well, let me tell you, if you can't stop doing something, then you, it's one of two things. You're either demon-possessed to a certain degree, or you're a liar. Because the Bible says to do it, it would be unrighteous and unholy of God to tell you to do something you cannot do. It's one that you guys heard me say this many a times. One of the books that really changed my life as a young Christian, I got a hold from Kenneth Hagin, one of them little books that he had at that time. It was like a 50-cent book, and it was called Don't Blame God. And that book changed my life, because 99% of Christianity, that's all they do, is every problem. Well, God has a reason. God has a this. God has a that. And, you know, I'm just this way. This is the way he created me. He didn't create you as a sinner. He didn't create you that way. He didn't make you, a numbskull. You decided to turn out like that. You practice a lie. When I found out, Kenneth Hagin said, and you guys heard me say this numbers of times. I never get, first time I heard him say it, I was just a young Christian. He said, your life, don't blame anybody else. He said, your life turned out the way you made it. You know what I sat and thought about? I thought, boy, that was an awful harsh statement. Well, I had people and I was raised this way. But I'm in a position in my life, I can make my own decisions. I can't blame now somebody else in the past of what my mom and dad did. And if you do that, you're going to just say some backslidden buzzard anyhow. You get off your past. You're a child of God now. You're the temple of the Holy Ghost. The Spirit of God lives in you. Don't let the devil or people drag you off to that. Don't go to that past counseling trying to get you over something. Read what the Scripture says you are now and start walking in it. Defeat your past by walking in your future. Hallelujah. You don't defeat the past living in the past. You defeat the past by living in the future. You set yourself. Faith is about the future. It's about taking the things you don't see right now and bringing them into the now. Faith is not about dragging up the past trying to change the future. Get over that nonsense. I don't care what mama did to you. You keep walking dumb, can't blame mama, you're the dummy. Don't want what mama did or daddy did. Stop those things, because they're the things that the devil will use to open the door to come into your life, getting you into that stuff. And after a while, what you want is a pity party. Poor old me. Oh, you just don't understand what's wrong with me. Yeah, and I don't want to know either. I don't want to get like you are. What we do is go to the Word of God, and we take the Word of God and we begin to look at what it says. We renew our minds with the Word of God. Hallelujah. God's not unrighteous. God has set a plan for us. I want to go over to 1 Corinthians. I want to read to you here in 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, back to 1 Corinthians again, what Paul wrote to them. Paul wrote these people some stuff, and it's some pretty good things that deal with things, and it'll help us. In 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, in verse 24, says this: Do you not know that those who run a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. Now I want you to see what he says is, he's talking to these people, and this is good to know. He's talking about, they had the Olympics and all those kind of things. The Corinth was big on this kind of stuff. They had their own, little Colosseum thing there and all kind of stuff. They had these things. But understand, he's saying to them that one person in a race wins the crown. But he tells us we're supposed to run in such a way that we win it. In other words, everybody can get the crown. But now you need to understand this. You got to win it. There are no participation crowns. Just because you're a Christian, there are no participation crowns. Just because you're in the race, you got to run the race in a manner that you win the crown. Now, he says this: everyone who competes for a prize is this dirty word, temperate. You know what temperate means? To exercise restraint. My God, why did he have to put that word there? Exercise, he said, in what? Well, what do you exercise restraint in all things? See, you need to understand this. Whatever you're shooting for, and in life, anything you want to really become excellent at, is going to require you to set certain things aside so you can attain that. It's going to. And you're going to have to, everything pertaining to getting to that point, all those things that would hold you back from getting there, you need to get a temperature. You've got to need exercise restraint about those things. Why? Because they will affect you getting the prize or to the place you want to be. They'll affect you. There's things that are absolutely good and fine, but you know what? In circumstances that you want to do, they're not. Some things you got to just lay aside, not because they're evil, they're wrong, but if you want to attain a certain thing, you can't do that. See, I found out as being in a ministry, I couldn't go and run all the time with other people and hanging out with people all the time. If I want to arrive at a place, there's time people want to go run around, they want to do all their stuff. I'm not going to run around doing it. I got to go spend time with God. See, I'm not one of the boys in the ministry. You know, there's people, you know, they think fellowship is just hanging out with people. You know, we're having a fellowship lunch. Yeah, and it's 99.9% lunch. There wasn't any fellowship. All of it was fleshly fellowship. We take this word fellowship and mean just hanging out with each other. My God, there's people in churches in this town today that they're in and are having no fellowship with God. Now, you ask them, they think they're having some kind of fellowship. They don't even know God ain't there. How sad is that? They don't know He's not there. See, there's a fellowship to be had. There's things that, you know, we have to do in these things. But he said, so run in such a way that you may obtain the crown. He said, everyone who competes for the prize is temperate or restrains in all things. Now, they do it to obtain a perishable crown. But what we for an imperishable crown. In other words, there's a goal that we're shooting at is so much higher than what the world shoots at. See, do you want something? Most people are just happy with what here in the natural we have right here. As long as things seem to go good for me here. You know, I'm laying up treasure for the other side. This is temporal. This thing's going to end, and all you've laid up your treasure here is going to be gone. It ain't going with you. No 401ks make it to heaven. Now, there's nothing matter with saving money, but when you leave here, you leave here. What have you got over there? The average Christian has nothing over there. The Lord told me this. He said, 80% of my people have amounted to nothing. He said that to me years ago. My God, I look at it today. He probably had upped the percentage. They have no treasure on. They're not laying anything up. They're not putting their flesh under. They're not going after the things of God. They're short-sighted. This is why faith don't work. Faith is never short-sighted. Faith is a place that walks and can see what it wants and takes a hold of that and moves toward that thing and will not move till that thing comes to pass. It has things that it desires and wants. It sees the future, and I'm going to have that future. It's not something, well, if I have it, oh, I hope I get it. If God wants me to, I will or I won't. It's not that. That's not faith at all. Faith is looking down the road and saying, you know, I ain't just got my days here in the earth. Glory to God. This short thing, dear Lord, I'm 69 years old. And somebody said, you know, they said, you know, it's like a smoke. My God, it wasn't even a good smoke. I mean, no, dear Lord, it's short and coming down on here. Jesus is coming back. And 99% of the church is living like he's not saying he is. Woo! Somebody throw water on this man. He's on fire. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But see, you know, I don't teach you people these things just for you. You need to be telling them to people. You get people come and say, pray for me. You need to be honest and look at them and say, you know, your prayer ain't going to get answered. You're living in the flesh and called yourself a mess of problems. Or you want to deal with this thing? I'll help you and do whatever if you want to deal with it. But I can't pray for you to get delivered because you're not. No, we don't want to do that. We don't want to hurt their feelings. They might not like us, and they'll go say people bad stuff. I'm some kind of, you're not a Christian. You don't walk in love. Here's the loving Christian today, making people believe they're going to get what they're not. That's the love of the church today. And the church is filled with those scumbags. They stand in pulpits, call themselves ministers, and they're childs of the devil. Biggest liars. All liars are going to be in a lake of fire. Read the book. Telling people they're going to get something they're not. telling people they're all right when you know full well they ain't all right. We got to deal with these things. Don't tell me I'm all right if I'm messed up. Dear God, nothing ever changes. You can't change something you keep fortifying. It'll never change. Hallelujah. Verse 26, therefore what? Run. Run thus, he said. The word thus is there. It just means this. Thus, it means run like this. Not with uncertainty. What's uncertainty? Lack of assuredness about someone or something. That's what it is. It is to run. It is to run with uncertainty. He said, thus I fight not as one who beats the air. See, Paul's not just out swinging. This is most Christians, their faith is just out swinging. They ain't hitting on nothing. They're out there just swinging. He said, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that. Why? Listen to what he says. But I discipline my body. Who disciplines his body? See, Jerry Seville disciplined his body. He disciplined his body. Body, this is what you get for doing what you're doing. Now, because discipline is about training. Listen to this. As we deal with the areas of discipline. Discipline means to control gained by enforcing obedience or order. Control gained by enforcing obedience or order. That's what discipline is. Oh my God. I'm not under the law. Well, you better put your body under the law because it's dead in sin. And if you don't get it under the law, it's going to dominate you and rule you. You better get some rules on that thing. You better set some guidelines on it or it'll dominate you. You got to discipline this thing. You got to train this thing. He goes on to say here, okay, we discipline. He said, and bring it into subjection. Subjection means one placed under authority or control. You need to get your flesh under your authority and under your control. See, it don't do any good that Jesus won all this victory for us and we don't walk in the authority. See, we talk about authority over the devil. I have authority over my own body too. And I'm going to tell you what, having authority over the devil and not taking authority over your body, it's a waste of time to try to take authority over the devil. You wasting your time. You're better off hanging down at the bar and having a drink. At least you'd feel a little bit better. You got half woozy. Because I'm going to tell you, life ain't going to be pretty and it ain't going to be woozy. It's going to run you over. And we need to deal with these things. This is why training. This is hard to do. You know, we don't do it. We're in a lax society. He goes on to say this here, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. Here's what Paul said. Paul's basically saying this. I got to do this. He said, I don't want to be the preacher and preach the stuff and then turn around to me not doing it. You know, don't tell people to do what you don't do. Don't tell people to pray and you don't. Don't go around and tell, this is what you need to do. You just disqualified yourself. I got enough trouble without disqualifying myself. I got enough to deal with my flesh without doing something dumb. This is one of the things that I've learned. I've always appreciated because I learned it from Brother Hagin, but Brother Randy did too, as he learned. You don't preach what you don't do. Loads of preachers today, majority, preach what they don't do. That's why we have what we call the informational church and we have the revelational church. The revelational church is the church that has a revelation from God and is doing it. The informational church is the church that you go to and you're told all this stuff, but you know nobody ever does it. But we think we got somewhere because we know something. We're so bright. But we need to understand this. You know, one of the things we need, I used to belong to a gym. And while I belonged to the gym, they used to even have signs that said, you know, no pain, no gain. And there's a real truth in that thing because I'm going to tell you what, it's going to be pain dealing with your flesh, but the gain is every bit of worth it. And we need to know that's what they were talking about there. You had to put your flesh, you went to the gym, you made your body do things it didn't want to do. You make your body. You're going to have to do that. This is what I found out. Here's how it is in the church world. I have no authority to make you do anything. Haven't you noticed that? Because it don't matter what I preach, you don't have to ever do it. You don't ever have to do it. I can't make you do it either. Understand, God can't make you do it. It can't. I've learned a long time, and I don't try to make people do things. That's a waste of time and a waste of breath. You have to decide. You have to decide what you want to put on or what you want to do. That's what you decide. I can't make it happen for you. I don't care how anointed I get. I can't make the word work for you. I can't make things work for you. My job is just this, is to bring you the truth. You know, the word says to know the truth will make you free. That word know there, people think just to have knowledge of what the word said. That word know there means to have a comprehension and understanding of something that you can do it. See, if you ain't doing it, you don't have free knowing. You don't have that knowing. That kind of knowing that makes you free is you know what something means and you're doing it. That makes you free. You don't get free because you got information. It's what you do with your information turns out whether or not you get free. Well, I know what the truth is. Lots of people say they can quote the truth. Do you do it? Nope, we ain't doing it. I just praise God, I don't understand. I know what the word says and I ain't any more free. I wonder what's wrong with this. I wonder what's happening here. But I know what the Bible says, and I even believe what it says. Wonder why it's not working. I have faith. I believe what it says. Faith without corresponding action's dead. You got good, dead faith. You've learned to kill your faith and keep your body alive. You've learned how to do that. We're good at that one, folks. And everybody here's done it, so you might as well smile and say, yeah, I did it, instead of, you know. Oh, my God, don't say that. Don't say that. Hallelujah. One of the problems we're dealing with is in the church world, and I'm not blaming the people. I'm blaming the number one. The majority of it has been because of the ministers. We have instruction and teaching, but have no training. We're not teaching people and just being blunt with people about what they got to do. You know, Kenneth Hagin, if a person had a demonic problem, he wouldn't cast a spirit out of a person unless a person would promise to do certain things. Because he said, I cast the devil out of you, and you don't do the things that close the door, that devil will be back. And the Bible says this, when he comes back, he'll bring seven worse spirits. People end up worse off. You don't just run around and cast demons out of people. Most of the time, people want demons cast out of them, and ain't a demon, it's their flesh. It's their own flesh, and they won't deal with their flesh. I'm convinced of this. Brother Hagin said it years ago, and he said he believed that people have more trouble with their flesh than they do the devil. Well, you know, I didn't know at the time when I first heard that, but today I'm a believer in it. Most people, I know with me, I have more trouble with my flesh than I do the devil, because I found this. I deal with my flesh. The devil can't do a lot of things when I deal with my flesh. So, you know, we need to understand that. We can really put, you don't do things. You know, we shouldn't be doing things that opens the door to the devil, and we need to watch it. What we need in the church is the majority of Christians today have had no basic training. When I went in the military, and the Lord wanted me to talk about, you know, training is just, it means this, is to have training means to form by instruction, discipline, or drill to make prepared as by exercise for a test or a skill. See, the church, I can see it's like the world. The educational system in our nation has gone much in the direction of what the church has done today. Informational teaching. This is why, you know, if you go back to Randy Greer and his teaching on the informational church, you have the revelational church and the informational. The informational church just gives information. RC, that's what the church does. It's just an information. Nobody does nothing. But we just give information, and everybody, you know, we've been seminared 497 times, but nobody's doing nothing. And I need to go to another seminar. What I need to do is hear something. That's what I need. You know. I need to hear. And most people, they need to do something. They need to do something, not hear something. They need to put to practice what they hear. They need to put to practice. They need to train. And there's training involved. Always training. And you guys have heard me say this, and the Lord spoke to me, you know, and here's one thing, you know, 1 Corinthians 8:1 says this, is knowledge puffs up. You attend too many seminars and you don't do anything, you might live the rest of your life and never do anything and walk around and think you're brilliant. But the Lord spoke to me. I told you folks about this. When I first got saved, the Lord spoke to me and said to me this one day that he was going to, when I was just a young Christian, he said, I'm going to use your military training to teach you how to walk the faith. I'm going to use your military training. He didn't say, I'm just going to take a teaching of the word. I'm going to use your training. The things you learn in training, I'm going to use those so you can learn to walk by faith. See, the walk of faith is a disciplined life. You can't walk by faith and don't have a disciplined flesh. He said to me, and I want to talk about this some here. He told me to talk about my military training. And see, what we have, when I went in the military, it was called basic training when you first go in. Basic training was an 8-week course. 8 weeks. And there's things that they did with us in basic training that they don't do anymore today, because if they did them, we'd have too many whiners and criers and people wouldn't even go into service. I'm just telling you the truth. Too many mamas would be calling her congressman and saying, oh, you know what they did to my son? They made him do something. And he actually had sweat drops on him the last time I saw him. Oh, that poor boy. You want to do something for him? They're going to tell him. You think I'm kidding? The stuff that goes on today. People's words mean nothing to them. They go in the military, and if you don't like it, they'll even let you out if you go to basic training. And if you find out, it's harder than I thought. We went into basic training, but one of the things they did, you need to understand what basic training and what the military was, the whole thing was about in basic training. It was about controlling your flesh. See, what people want is some control your flesh through some nice woo-woo spiritual experience. That ain't the way it works. You have to do physical things to get your flesh. Like tell your flesh, you know, we're going to sit down and shut up and read the Bible today. I'm not going to look at my phone 470,000 times today. I'm not going to have to look at Facebook half the day to make sure to see what everybody else is saying and doing. Woo! I become a popular guy. See, I know how to do it. I know how to say the things to become popular. You know, Braden had this thing in school they did, and it was like an extracurricular thing he did. So they told him for 2 days, you know, no computers and no TV or no nothing, just, you know, do other things. I said, dear Lord, I'd be cussed at in church if I tried to get people to do that. See, we don't know much about discipline. See, one of the things that they did is in the military, they took us, and they took us away from mom and dad. It was a really smart thing to do. Moms and dad, lots of times you're a lot of problem with your kids. You're the problem. Get over it. You're the problem. I was 17 years old when I went in. In January, I had turned 17, and by July, I was in the military. I volunteered, went in. And I went in the military. I was in the Army. And 17 years old, I just had turned 20 years old when I got out. In January, I turned 20 years old, and I was left Vietnam in February, the middle of February of 1970. I was just turned 20 years old, and I had already been in and out of the service at 20 years old. But I was 17 years old in Vegas basic training, and what they do, they separate you from your family. You're not allowed to call mom and dad. They aren't allowed to call you and talk to you. They take you away from everything. They take you away from all the things that you like and you want to have. You don't have communication. The only communication you have is with some sergeant you think hates you. But you don't realize this is because it's just like today, I'm being a sergeant. And I'm trying to tell you these things for your best interest to save your life, or you can go home and whine. You need to understand these things and get a hold of it. They were saving my life. Those guys were not being mean to me. They were showing me what my enemy was going to do to me and try to do to me and how to stay alive. And they took us out. Now we had, you know, this, you know, and we had, I remember we would go out and we do PT, physical training. And you go out to do physical training, and we had this guy, he was maybe about 5'7" tall or something like that. He was a sergeant who was he was American Indian. And he was Mr. Physical Shape. I mean, this guy, he would go out, I mean, just to intimidate us. You do an hour PT, he would stay in the front leaning rest position like doing a push-up. And he would stay there for the entire hour, take us through all the training. And he wouldn't even break a sweat. And we're down in Georgia in July at Fort Benning, Georgia. And everybody's sweating terrible. And here he's sweating. He's just there looking at us. And I'll tell you what, his eyes were wonderful. He must have had eagle's eyes because he saw everything everybody did. And if you didn't do it right, you weren't getting away with it. And he stayed on you, and he did it. They took us through those things. But you know, they did a thing. In other words, they kept pushing you, and they kept pushing you. They didn't kill us, but they kept pushing us to a point. Why is going through this thing? After you sit back and look at it, it's over with. When I come out in 8 weeks' time, I was better physical shape than anybody who ever paid $10,000 to a physical trainer to get in shape. As you went in there and that stuff, they controlled when you ate, what you ate. They did all those things. Because you need to understand, they took you through things and times you didn't get to eat when you wanted to. You didn't get to do things. We would do forced marches. 15-mile forced march, you had a canteen of water, and that was your water. And if you went and drank your water and somebody else gave them theirs, that guy was as much trouble as you are. There wasn't this stuff. You learned. You were in a team. You were a team of people. One guy messed up, everybody got in trouble. People say, well, yo, that isn't right. That just doesn't, we shouldn't do that. This is what the Bible says, a very interesting statement. It says, when one hurts, we all hurt. One slacker in the bunch hurts everybody. This is why the church hurts today. It's filled with slackers. Woo! Aren't you glad to preach that one? I'll tell you, that really excites people. We don't realize it. See, we sit around, it's just, just me and Jesus. No, it's not. It's me and the body. No organ is just attached to the head, and that's it. It's effect on everybody. You have an effect on others around you. You have an effect. All of us try to get here. We can get here and pray. Look, our agreement here can't go any further than the weakest of the bunch. You ever think about that? There's a guy named Joshua and a guy named Caleb. Did they get to go in the land with all them other unbelievers around them? They had to stay out there with all the rest of them scumbags, even though they believed. I'll tell you what, I ain't holding nobody back. I'm going to live right so others can go somewhere. We got to get a lot of this teaching out of us that is unbiblical. And our ideas and thinking about what Christianity is. Our Christianity has basically been self-centered and selfish. It's all about me. It's all about me. Wasn't that wonderful? Anyhow, hallelujah. But you know, they did things to us and they marched us. And they did things to make sure you didn't get all the sleep you wanted. They make sure you did all those things. Why? Because when you end up in warfare, that's the way it is. That's the way it is. Well, I just can't go if I don't get my 8 hours of sleep. Why don't you ever get in faith and start making a decent confession? You've talked yourself into that one where you can't. That's your mouth did that. Nobody else did that. Just because you agreed with some doctor, some guy called himself a researcher because he needed 8 hours. So everybody has to get 8 hours. Well, I'm just going to tell you that I ain't had 8 hours in years. Let's get a life. And all these people that get their 8 hours are weenies. Gotta have 8 hours, you know. Just. But they would do stuff. I'll never forget the first force march we were on. Now, you're on a force march. Now, you got to see me. When I went 17 years old, I weighed 135 pounds. In fact, the guys gave me a nickname. It's called Bone Rack. But Bone Rack was in better shape than most all the rest of them were. I was skinny, but I could do 100 push-ups at one shot. But you know, when you put out in a force march, you go out in a force march. Now, you know, is even like in the military today, even they take you out running today, they let you put running shoes on. We ran in combat boots. You know, you get out in combat, you don't have tennis shoes to put on. You don't have them. Oh, we don't want to hurt their little toes. We don't want to hurt their little piggies today. Well, the enemy will shoot them off of you. So we go out in our combat boots, you have fatigues on. And they'd take you out, and then you'd have to carry all your gear. Now, we had the M14 rifles, the one we trained with, so we got the heavier one. They made us train with the heavier one. You know, you could get M16s lighter. And so the ammo's lighter, but you weren't allowed to. We had to have the M14 with heavier ammo, bigger. You had your backpack. You had all your gear and stuff in there. You had some sea rations that, you know, tasted terrible, but you had them in there. That's what you had to eat. You know, they didn't turn around and feed you what you had. You'd have starved to death and died on the road, and everybody would have walked over you just going on a march because you didn't stop for them. You kept going. Well, you know, you had to learn this. You know, people, this is the way they train you. What is it? They have a goal to do, and the goal is more important than anybody else. You know, God's given us goals to shoot at, things we're supposed to be for the kingdom. And they're down on the list, number 10 or 15, to the church. And all this stuff we got in there. So when you got all your gear on and stuff, you know, you probably carrying at least 100 pounds. I'm 135, and I'm carrying all this stuff. You got all these packs and that stuff on and everything. And then what happens was, if you're out there marching and it gets raining, they make you put your ponchos on. Now, you're down in Georgia. It's already 95 degrees with 90% humidity. It's wonderful. You put your poncho on. Now, you put your poncho on. It wasn't to keep you dry. It was to keep your weapon dry. It wasn't about protecting you. You need to understand, you needed that weapon more than you needed you. Because if you had you and didn't have the weapon and it wasn't working, you're worthless. You had to learn that. You had to learn to what was important and what wasn't. Your comfort was never important. Woo! I learned that. My comfort was never important. Now, they did things to keep us. One of the things that I learned, like they gave us sea rations. People don't know about what they were today. Sea rations, they were, you know, some cans of stuff and some different things that sometimes you wondered what it was, tastes terrible, everything like. But there's one thing. There was nothing wrong with it from the standpoint of nutrition-wise. It was very high calorie because you needed all the calories you could get. Got me at 135 pounds, I needed a million of them a day. You know, just get along here, get doing stuff. And they were high calorie, and it wasn't whether they were good or not. You're going to eat them. If you don't eat them, if you're a stupid person, you're going to drop out along the way. Oh, but I don't like that kind of stuff. You know me, we don't know about getting past anything. And so they took it out, and they marched us, and they marched us. They marched us 15 miles. They took us out through. And you put that stupid poncho on, and what happens? Now you sweat twice as much. You're under that poncho. It's raining. You say, man, I want the rain on me. Oh, just pay that. So I learned to just to do this. I just take a poncho and stick it over my rifle, and I walked in the rain and felt a whole lot better. But you're walking. You got a steel pot on and everything. When you finally come and you dry off, you see your uniform turns pretty white. It's from all the salt you're losing out of your body. So you're taking salt pills. You always have salt pills on. You're taking salt pills. You got to stay alive, man. You got to do whatever you do. But so, well, they're really nice to us. So they take us out, and we arrive at a place where we're going to set up camp. Now, you set up camp, you got a half of a tent shelter, half, and another guy's another half. Two people come together, and you put the two together, and you put them together. They weren't nice little tents that have little rods through them in 10 seconds. You just, and it's up. They didn't have none of those. And you had entrenching tools. And they made you do this. You had to go around. Once you set your tent up, then you had to dig a trench around in case it rains, keeps water away from it. Keep you, you know, inside so you can, when you are sleeping, you're dry. They didn't do it just to torment you. That's what a lot of guys think. Well, they're just being mean to us. No, there's a purpose in doing it. Why are they doing it? They're, you know, trying to teach you something. And so they take us out there. Now you just hike 15 miles. You've been carrying all this weight. And you get there and you sent this thing up and it's dark. It's just about dusk when you arrive there. You get there, you get set up. And finally you can go to bed. So you get inside and nobody is taking medication to sleep. It's not happening out here. Everybody's like, you know, you get to sleep. And I was just glad because I didn't have to pull guard duty. So, now I want you to know, the guys who pulled guard duty didn't even get to sleep at all because we weren't probably asleep no hour and a half. It's dark outside, and they come in and get everybody up. 20 minutes, we're moving out. You can't use any lights. This is war training. You don't turn on lights and get flashlights out and start doing that stuff. You're in the dark, and you're in a wooded area. It ain't no full moon out either. There's no full moon. There's nothing. It's called Dark in Pine Trees with Nothing but Pine Needles and Gnats. And if you could use gnats for something, you can make a million down in Georgia. Anyhow, they're trained. So they turn it and they move us. It's dark. And so you got to get all your equipment together, get all this stuff torn down. You're trying to pack things. And it's dark. You can't see what's going on. You're doing the best you can, get everything together, get all your web belt on and everything with all your ammo and everything, get everything hooked up. And in 20 minutes, you're moving out and you're walking. And then you go and you march. They march us some miles and miles down the road. And we get down the road and we're around the road. And so we're watching down through. There's some tanks come running down through and run past you and throw dirt and rocks all over you when they go by. I say, this is exciting. We're having fun. And my flesh just says, this is glorious. Let's do some more of this. So they take us down the road and they turn around and take us over in another wooded area and say, set up your tents. It's dark. But there's a sergeant around to make sure. And they would come around. And if you didn't set up your tent, do what's right, they'd come over and tear it down, make you set it up right. Set it up right. Do it right. This is all training. So they did that, and that was all just wonderful and good. They do all those things. They tell you when you're going to get up, when you're going to go to sleep, when you're going to eat, when you get to go to the bathroom. They tell you all these things. And they train you, and you get to the point. You finally arrive at the point that that's just the way it is, and this is what we do. And you got the point, I don't even think twice about it anymore. This is just the way it is. This is what we're doing. And so you just go ahead and you do it. And after a while, your flesh quits complaining if you do it long enough. The reason your flesh don't get under is because you never did nothing long enough to bring it under. You've always given it a voice. See, that wasn't bad enough. Then they turned around and took us out at nighttime. And then they, just to torment you good, they take you out. And they call it an infiltration course. And what they're going to do, an infiltration course is set up when you're in an area, it's like a foxhole when you're down below inside this thing. And out up over top of there, there's a probably about twice the length of this church. There's nothing but concertina wire and barbed wire strung all over the place. And there's nothing but rocks, mud, and water pools all out through there. And then they got these nice areas that are sandbagged off. And they tell you, don't go into those. Stay away from those. There's explosives in them. Don't crawl in one of them. Now, there's real explosives in there. So they tell you, this is what you're going to do. You're going to come up here, come down and line up, and you're going to start crawling across that thing. Now, you got to keep your weapon out of the dirt and the mud and the rocks, your weapon, because they want to inspect it when you get over the other side. Now, you're crawling under barbed wire and stuff. You got your weapon. You got to cradle it in your arms and move back and forth through that thing down through there. Oh, it's wonderful on your knees and elbows. It's just exciting. I'm going to tell you, this stuff's exciting. This is what they do to you. So they tell you you're going to do that. And then on top of it, they got a 50 caliber machine guns that are fire, live machine gun round firing over your head down the range. And you sit there and every fifth round's a tracer. And you sit there and you watch those machine guns. They're firing and tracers are flying down through there. And you go crawling out there. And then some silly guy sets off the explosives inside the things. And rocks and mud and water fall down on you while you're down there trying to crawl through this thing. And then you get down to the other side. You finally make it through. You've crawled under this barbed wire. You've gotten caught in at least 10 times during the time you're running down through there. You're trying to get out of the barbed wire, but you can't stand up. You can't do things. You're trying to do all that, trying to keep your weapon out of the water, the mud, and everything. When you get down to the end, your weapon looks like you drug it through the mud up to the other side. And they're yelling at you for it. And we stood there, I'm going to tell Mom. No, by that time we got to the point, this is the way it is. They loaded us up on trucks in the middle of the night and took us off the field and took us back in and took us in the barracks areas and that stuff and said, get showers. First thing you do, you get your weapons cleaned up. Number one. You don't get cleaned up first. You don't get your thing. You go and get your weapons cleaned up. Well, we found out how to do it. You do a lot of hot water. Turn it on. Take it in the shower with you. And you take your weapon. And you take your weapon in and wash it out and immediately get out and dry that thing and oil it really quick. You don't want anything to rust. You have to do it right away. Because to sit and try to clean, it would have been impossible to try to clean all the mud. There's mud and dirt and gut in every little nook, cranny of those things as you can think of. But when our weapons were clean, then we were allowed to clean up. See, all those things were done for the purpose. When I ended up in Vietnam, you know, before I went to Vietnam, I went through Republic of Vietnam training, went through some of the same things all over again, and they run you back through, although they do a lot of the gas chamber stuff, and they do the gas, hitting you with gas while you're out there. That's always fun. You got your gas mask, and so you're down in Georgia. I'm down in Georgia again. Wonderful place to go to. You're sweating, and they're hitting you with CS gas, and when you sweat, your pores open so the gas gets inside, and it burns. Oh, does it burn? And you're fighting to put on a gas mask, and you're putting on a gas mask, and that gas mask is rubbing your face. And you're putting this thing on, and you're, oh, it's just so exciting. But you know, when I got to Vietnam, I was so thankful that they trained us. They had trained our flesh to follow certain things no matter what, and those things keep you alive. You need to understand it's the same way. I can't make you do things. You're going to have to do them. See, when I went into service, they made us do things. But you're out here in life. You're going to have to do it. And if you're not going to do that, if you're not going to be a disciplined person, you're going to limit how far you're going to go spiritually. You have to learn. Nobody can do it for you. See, that's why, you know, the Christian groups have found this out, and they do this, like with drug training places and that stuff. They take people and they take them away for a long period of time and put them in, and they do that for a purpose. I found that as people messed up in drugs that won't do that kind of stuff usually don't get straightened out. That's your only hope, is to be able to put yourself under authority and let somebody else run your life to get you over. You know, as I found, you know, and you find this out, even with them, people would listen while they were there, but then when they go back out and they can make their own choices again, they start going back to the same jump. You got to become a disciplined person. You have to for your sake. If you don't, the Christian life can be a hard thing. It can be a hard thing. It doesn't have to be. You need to sit down and say to yourself, this is things I'm going to have to do. There's things that I got to do. There's things I got to deal with me about. You know, that's why I think the Bible talks about, you know, you people want to, like today, you know, diets and all that stuff are really huge. The Bible has just a really good thing. It says, in other words, moderation in all things. And number two, if you're given to overeating or gluttony, put a knife to your throat. But you need to understand, those are both things you have to do. Somebody can't do it for you in a diet. A diet can't do that for you. Diets go no further than you go. It's about you. It's always been about us. It's never about these people. Oh, I got this great thing. You know, I got this diet. You can eat as much as you want. Man, I've been doing that and grew like a house. That eat all you want diet. Number one, you don't want any diet. And some guy telling you, even though if you don't gain weight, you don't want your appetite to control you. Where you get to eat as much as you want. You never want that to happen. It's moderation in all things. Anybody that comes along and tries to offer you something that you can let your flesh run off in and you won't have a consequence, that's the biggest lie that's ever been told by the devil. Moderation in all things. You have to learn. All of us have to learn. We have to learn to do things. We have to get ourselves. Because what happens is people never really deal with themselves. We're going to look as we go along in here. I'm going to talk to you about how to deal with yourself, because you have to learn to deal yourself spiritually is number one. You got to get in yourself. Lots of times people are trying to accomplish things they aren't spiritually even ready for. Is number one is we need the teaching of the word first. You know, prayer never comes first. Prayer is never first. The word is always first. I learned that from Kenneth Hagin. Kenneth Hagin says prayer is never first. It's always the word, then it's prayer. Praying about stuff that you don't know nothing about what the Bible says, that was the most worthless thing you ever did. Probably led you further away from God and close to Him. Prayer's never number one on the agenda. You get the Word, and then you take the Word, and you enter prayers. One thing is, I learned this over time. The more I'm competent concerning the Word in prayer, the easier it is for me to hook up with the anointing in prayer. Hooking up with an anointing in prayer is very beneficial. Makes prayer a bit easier when you're flowing in anointing, doing it. And you can learn how to yield over and get hooked up into things quicker. It's things you have to do. Is one of the things you're going to have to learn to do is pray in tongues a lot. You want to deal with your flesh? You better learn to pray in tongues a lot. But tongues is a good thing for this purpose, because your flesh don't like it. Your flesh don't like it, and your mind doesn't like anything that you can't control. Anything. Anything you can't control, you're and like, well, why would I pray? I don't know what I'm saying. Best thing that ever happened to you. Because if your flesh is dominate you, what you've been praying and doing ain't working anyhow. Wouldn't you be glad to find something else? Wouldn't you? Take your time, pray in other tongues. Take your time. Just praying in other tongues, take your time in doing it. The Bible, the Word tells us we build ourselves up in our most holy faith. In other words, it is doing something in the inner man. Because if the inner man does not become dominant, your flesh always will be. And we're going to look at things that you have to do to get yourself over in a place where you can take control. Health, the whole thing. When we're dealing with these things, we're dealing concerning your health and everything about it. James said if a man can control his tongue, he can control his whole body. So in other words, you got to renew your mind and what you speak and know. You can't let your flesh, your mouth, talk all the stuff it wants to talk and wants to say it wants to do. You can't do it. You can't do that. You got to bring your flesh under control. You got to bring your flesh under where it doesn't say everything it wants to say. Nope, we ain't doing that. And renewing your mind, you're going to have to do that. We're going to look at these things because we want to deal with our flesh. If you want to go to something higher, where you are right now, you can't go higher without change. Or you'd be higher. We have this idea, well, if I just knew a little bit more about the Bible, I'd get there. Well, there could be a truth for that. Most people don't need more revelation. They need more doing. They need more action and acting on what they know to do. That's where people are mostly missing it at, is doing. And that becomes a thing sometimes. See, and that's where the flesh, this is where the difficulty in the place comes, is like, with Jerry Seville. He had very good intents of what he wanted to do, but it required him to do something to his flesh to make his flesh come into line. In other words, his flesh is dominating. In other words, his inner man's desire to do something was not as strong enough to get it done. He had to govern authority over his flesh and tell his flesh, no, this is what you're going to do. You know, I started doing this, praying in other tongues. If I start praying, spending time praying in tongues, and I start falling asleep, then I just look and say, okay, I've been falling asleep. I'm going to pray in tongues another half an hour. I'm going to go for a half an hour more than what a devil is going to do. It's amazing how my flesh starts shutting up. The devil don't get near as noisy when he finds out you want to do something spiritual longer. He turns around and gets upset about it. And he'll keep his blab mouth shut because he don't want you doing it more. I've learned to do it. What? I'm going to train my flesh. Flesh, you ain't getting away with this. You're not getting away with this. Now you're going to do this more. Okay, I give up! So you got to set yourself at what you're going to do. Don't say you don't have time, because I will tell you, one way or other, most of the people's time is eaten up by what their flesh has caused problems. It eats up your time trying to correct the problems in your life which exist because the flesh has dominated. Folks, I know. I've had a lot of things I had to spend time with because what I failed to deal with. It's amazing. I'm amazed at this. For the past month or so, I'm praying sometimes up to 6 hours a day, praying, talking to God about things, about the Word, praying in other tongues, doing this. I'm going to start. I ain't saying this doing any kind of bragging. Some days come along, I can't spend as much time as certain things had to be done. But one of the things, most amazing things, I get the same amount of stuff done that I did before. I was going, what on earth was I doing? You know what I was doing before? Working as hard as I could trying to get that other stuff done. And I found out I get over praying. Lots of that stuff gets done in no time at all. I done spend all this time. And you know, I need more time to rest. I need to relax. I need to sit and veg out. You know, that's what I need to do. And if I could just veg out some here and I would just feel a whole lot better. I'll tell you what, when I spend a lot of time in prayer, I'm amazed the energy I have, how good my mind is, and how it's working. And I don't do any vegging out. And I feel great. Most of the time when it's vegging out, people have, it's because you're mentally oppressed. That's what your problem is. You're mentally oppressed. Because you go through the day, you're doing all these different things. You got all this stuff on your mind and all this stuff is working on you. And the idea is this, if I do less, I'll feel better. No, it's what you do is going to make you feel better. You know, I found out this a long time ago. You know, if I'm feeling tired and stuff like that, I go outside and go for a run. I come back, I don't feel tired no more. Running don't tire, like, oh, running just tires me out. No, it don't. It'll give you energy. It'll get blood pumping through that brain you had that's half dead. And you might find out there's a thought in there that might be a good one. You start doing something. And see, lots of us see what we do. The body will always talk you in to making things worse. It'll always talk you into making things worse. It'll tell you what you, oh, the body needs to do this so it feels better. And you do that to make it feel better, and what around it turns on you. And the situation ends up worse than what it was. It turns right on you after it talked you into doing it. Let's stand to our feet. Went for a long time, but I'll tell you what, this stuff needs to be said and 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 said. And I guarantee you, this is going to be a very repetitive teaching. Because why? We're going to something higher. I'm going to tell you, we're going to a place to walk in such glory, it's going to astound you. It's not a glory that God wants to take you to see. It's a glory to participate in. That's what it is. The Lord, one morning when he woke me up, was talking about, told me and said to me about things concerning the move of the Spirit in this last day is what he's going to do through people. And when I just thought, you know, there are things that he said to me, and it's, when you think from the natural mind, how on earth, my God, you're going to do that through people? But when he said it to me, the first thing then it dawned on me was this. I thought, if that kind of glory gets on people, and people aren't in spiritual condition for that, they'll ruin everything God wants to do. And so the first thing I did is not go to tell everybody to straighten out. I went and said, Ed, you're going to have to straighten out. There's things you're going to have. And I just began to pray, and I started, one of the things is praying. And one of the things that I do is ask God, Lord, what do I need to change? What do I need to do that I can enter into this glory? Lord, that you don't anoint me and then I'm done with it. You know, there's many times people have sought God to get the anointing, and they did everything right to get the anointing, and once they got the anointing, they ruined it. They quit doing the things that got them the anointing in the first place. And they get over in the flesh, and they end up walking in the flesh. See, it's number one, we don't want to draw attention to ourselves. The anointing is to draw attention to God. You need to stay humble in these things. This is why you need to bring your flesh under, because your flesh keeps you from being humble. Your flesh will keep you from humility. Your flesh wants people to pat you on the back and say, you're wonderful. Oh my God, you're so wonderful. You just do such wonderful things. It's one of the things I learned and it was around Brother Hagin. Brother Hagin was never one. People come up and try to blow him, tell him how wonderful he was. He just smiled and walked away. He'd just smile at people and he'd just walk off. He'd walk away. But you know, his humility, he would not allow just anybody to introduce him in a meeting. In fact, he didn't like generally. When he held meetings of his own, his son would introduce him because he said, I can't stand it. He said, these people come out and they say, well, here's this great man of God and blah, 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 blah. He said, I'm not a great man. He said, I have a great God, but I'm not a great man. He said, I'm a man. You see, people love to be glorified. People love, and you know what? Your flesh loves it. I don't care who you are. He taught us in school and told us, you know, we should not be moved by censure or praise. It shouldn't move us. Whether somebody says something nice about you or they say something good about you, it should not change you. It shouldn't be any difference of what they do. Because I found this out, they'll approve you 1 minute and stone you the next one. So, but it isn't from that. I'll tell you, it is your own spirituality. If you want to maintain an anointing on you, and I realize that, if you do, you have to maintain that. Not move by things on the outside. Not try to get yourself an attention to yourself. We don't want to do that. I'm going to tell you what, if you preach the truth, you'll get a lot more attention than you wanted. It might not be so good. The Bible says you live godly in Christ Jesus, you're going to suffer persecution. You get your flesh used to that. You think a big move of God is going to bring everybody patting on your back and they're going to be just excited because the healing anointing is operating through your life? Get over it. They didn't get excited. Jesus had it and they didn't get excited, did it? They took him down and crucified him. If you have the idea, you think a big move of God is going to just make everything wonderful, there's going to be great persecution come with that move of God. The devil ain't going to lay back. He's got loads of people in the church who live by the flesh will show up to try to put you down. And you, if you're not humble, and that, I'll tell you what, you'll be all upset and big mouth and lose the loin of yourself. Get yourself straight while it's easy. Because once the fire starts, it's hard to get straight. When the heat of the battle's on, ain't the time to start doing basic training. We do that before the war starts. That's what this is all about. We're moving along. There's a move of God going out, and we're in training. This is about training time. This is about preparing ourselves to the next level of the move. That's what this is about. See, I've known that there for the years. I've been going to Brother Randy, Randy Greer's meetings. It's about preparation. It's all this thing is about preparation, getting prepared, getting ourselves ready to step into a greater glory, to step into something more. And you know, over time, I've stepped into greater glory, but it's never the outcome. You know, when the Lord told me the outcome of this thing is going to come, it's going to be phenomenal, what it's going to come to, and we ain't even close on that yet, and it's already getting good. But I'll tell you what, it's going to get phenomenal, and we need to be prepared and ready for that. We need to have our flesh under. God's great desire is to use you. You're the body. Any great move of God wasn't a thing for ministers. God used ministers. But the laity was used. The laity was always used. Demonstrations, manifestations. During the charismatic renewal. I mean, you'd go to Full Gospel Businessmen's meeting. Well, no ministers there. It was just businessmen. Miracles, signs, and wonders are taking place. It's the move of God. And those men learned to learn and flow in the move of God, and they turned around and hooked up with God, and God used them in it. It isn't about ministry. God wants to use everybody. The gifts of the Spirit, it says, concerning the manifestation, He divides them severally to all. He didn't say to preachers and some guy in charge of something. Severally to all. It's about everybody. See, I'm one of them all guys, you know. If I see all, that means I qualified. I'm in qualification. Father, I just want to thank you today. Lord God, your love for us. And Lord God, you said this in your scripture, you chasten the ones you love. I know you love me. Lord God, you've had your hands full. Lord God, these are your dear people, and they belong to you. You've called them out of darkness into the marvelous light. You're the one that saved them. You shed your blood for these ones here that belong to you. And Lord God, your desires for their victory, your desires for their success. Jesus, you did all that you did so they could have all that heaven has to offer. You did that for them, Jesus. Jesus, I want to thank you, and I just pray, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, that every heart's open today. Lord, that sees the glory that you're reaching out to try to pull them into and trying to bring them into. That they see, Lord God, there is so much more to be had. That there's a deeperness and a glory, Lord God, that you're bringing them to. That you're not against them. You're not fighting against them. Lord God, they're your people. You're doing, Lord God, just like those sergeants that we had. Lord God, they were never working against us. They were always on our side. They were doing things and doing, Lord God, to make us better. They did what they did, Lord God, so we could walk in a better place. We would be a better trained person, Lord God, not just so we could help ourselves, but we could help others too. Hallelujah. And Lord God, I want to thank you. Lord, they turned us into something that was a team, and we saw our need for one another and our help for one another. Father God, that needs to be brought back to the church again today in the name of Jesus, in the body of Christ, the need for the body. Lord God, we have so much of the body, don't even bother to, Lord God, to come and fellowship with other believers and call themselves Christians, and their fellowship is, I watch television ministers, that's what I do. No, there's a fellowship with the body, and you can't get it. There's any other way, it ain't going to work. And Lord God, I want to thank you for a fellowship of believers Lord God, who love you, who are hungry and thirsting for righteousness, that who want more. And Lord God, I thank you. Lord God, we need each other. We need one another. Hallelujah. We need that faith that ties together, Lord God, and the power of the Holy Ghost, that cement that holds us. Hallelujah. And makes us into a building of God where Jesus Christ is glorified and magnified, where Jesus Christ is the center of attention and not men. Hallelujah. Where the glory of God's revealed and men call and say and praise and glorify God because men cannot do the things that are being done. Lord God, that's what we're after and that's what we want. Lord God, hallelujah. Lord, I have no desire for a lot of this cheapness going on in the church today for attention and whatever. Lord God, Lord, we want the power of the Spirit to move again. We want the Holy Ghost of God. We want people touched by the Holy Ghost. Lives that are turned around and changed forever that are never the same. Lord God, Lord, we're counting on you today. Lord God, we're counting on your revelation. Holy Spirit, we need your help. We need your guidance in bringing our flesh under. Lord, there's different reasons for different people. Even sometimes it seems like the same thing they're dealing with in the flesh. But Lord God, it's not the same thing. And Lord God, to us we look with our eye, but Holy Spirit, you know what they need to do. And Lord, Holy Spirit, we ask you to begin to help, to bring instruction to ones to help them to overcome in areas. Lord, some have strength in certain areas and have overcome, but maybe have another area of weakness. And Lord God, we ask you, Father, that the Holy Spirit, you begin to teach us and instruct us individually. Lord God, on what the place we need to step out and do in our life. Lord God, that we're not trying to take steps, Lord God, that are out of line. And Lord God, we don't end up meeting the goal. But Lord God, there's things that you know in each one here, the first thing they need to begin to do. You know what they need. Lord God, it might be different from different people, but they need. And Lord God, I want to thank you that you start to show them that place where they need to walk, what they need to do, what they need to take a hold of. Lord God, Lord, because Lord, I believe with all my heart their desire is to take that next step of glory, is the next step into that place. And Lord God, you want them to go there. And Father God, I want to be a decent sergeant and help them get there. I want to be a sergeant, Lord God. It's not trying to fleece the flock, but it's trying to help the flock, Lord God. Lord God, I want to be used by you for something decent. Lord God, whatever you have to deal with me concerning my personal ego and whatever else, Lord God, show me what that is. And Lord God, to lay them things down, hallelujah, that Jesus Christ is glorified and magnified among the people, hallelujah. That's what we want. Lord God, Lord, if you don't move, we're finished. If you don't help, we're done. We can't walk this thing on our own. We need you. We need you desperately in these things. Our wisdom, we've tried enough stuff. We've known. We've failed at our wisdom many times, Lord. We need the wisdom of heaven. Open the eyes of our understanding. Enlighten our hearts to the Word, Lord God. Hallelujah. Lord, there's places in lives that have been darkened, but I pray today that light falls in that area. Light falls today. The light of the Word comes and falls into that area. That light comes, Lord God, that you bring it to them. Lord, however you bring that light, that Word to them. Lord, whomever might. Lord, I don't care if you have to send somebody from halfway around the corner, the earth, to come to them to speak something to them that brings light into an area. Lord God, you will do it. You will do anything, Lord God. If your people desire and hunger for it, you'll do anything to bring it to pass. Lord, you've done that for me. You've sent people already from other countries to come and say things to me, Lord God, that I needed to hear. You have done that. And you will do it again if you need to send an angel from heaven to do it. Jesus, if you need to appear to him, whatever it takes, Jesus. Whatever it takes. This is the body standing and we need the head. We need the head. We can't make it without the head. Hallelujah. Whatever has to be done, you will do. Jesus, we're going to end up walking in that glory you showed me. That's our end result. We're not going to go for anything less. We're not going for anything less. We're going to walk in the fullness that you've called us to walk into. And I want to tell you, Lord, I want to thank you because this valley here is about to experience the glory of God that men have never dreamed to see, know, or understand. Hallelujah. And I thank you, Lord. It's by your doing. we're just as Elijah said, Lord, we're just your servants, just doing what you told us to do. That's all. You're the one. You're the one drawing the hearts of your people back to you again. It's you are doing. It's your working. And we thank you for today in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.